series. That's where the
Perhaps where the name of the series came from was something which one of the listeners had given me an article entitled The Evolution of the Olive. Now, hence the word evolution in the title. The Halachic History of the Expanding Kazayas. Now, we spoke last week about the broader meta-halachic considerations which were brought to bear as part of the polemic between the Chazon Ish and his adherents and followers and Reb Chaim Noah, and that we had used a recent scholarly work on the life and the positions of the Chazon Ish. Today, we will get off the polemics and get down to brass tacks and discuss halacha lemaisa, what is a kazayas. So at first glance, there's nothing to talk about. Go to the store, buy an olive, and see what an olive is, and figure it out. You may say, but olives come in different sizes. That's true. Olives do come in different sizes, and they're different measurements. Let us begin by explaining that the measurement of a kazayas is a volume measure. Volume. These days, it's hard to measure things in volume. So you find weight equivalents, you may even find linear equivalents before Pesach. But fundamentally, it is a volume shear. And the question, of course, becomes, how big is an olive? The answer is, well, there are all kinds of olives. Some are bigger and some are smaller. So they say today, think metric. Since much of the literature is coming from Europe and Eretz Yisrael, they think metric. And this is something which was a system which is in use for a long time in the world which the Jews inhabited. So metric. So how many cc's, as we call it, how many cubic centimeters is the size of a typical olive? Don't want to venture a guess. Let me just give some people have kiddush, and they have a shot glass. A shot glass is approximately the size of an ounce, approximately 30 cc's. I'm talking on approximations. So 30 cc's, okay? We're used to fluid ounces. I'm not talking about an olive. I'm talking about, slowly, talking about what? I'm getting people. A shot glass. It's a big shot. It's a big shot? Okay. Shot glass, again, there are different kinds of shot glasses also. But if you look at very often it'll say on the bottom 1 ounce or 30 cc. Very often. Okay, but this is an idea, because otherwise we can't think metric. We're Americans, we only think in terms of ounces. So just imagine, you more or less can just, even if you don't drink liquor, as I don't, I don't want to get into that now, I think it's probably prohibited to drink liquor on a regular basis, because it has terrible implications. We spoke about it in Parshas Noach. It's been all downhill since. But nonetheless, people have schnapps, and we have yet to make our shul an alcohol-free zone, because Baruch Hashem, people in our shul have been able to control themselves. Other shuls have become alcohol-free zones, and for good reason. But nonetheless, we've all seen a shot glass. Is anyone who's never seen one? So we have an idea what it is. So I'm giving this, that kind of a little cup is approximately 30 cc. You want to bring us a specimen, please, Rabbi? Okay, well, we'll go into the kitchen and bring out the shot glasses and see what it says, what the size is. It may say 1 ounce, it may say 30 cc's, or maybe a different number. We'll find out soon. It's always good to have a visual aid to see how much this is. So now in your mind, you have this. Very good. Good. I'll give out a few people, have them. Well, this is a pretty big shot glass.
You want me to bring the whiskey out, too?
This says nothing on it. This is a
small shot glass?
Okay, I think this is 30 cc's and about a fluid ounce. That means eight of these is a full cup. I'm giving an approximation. You can look around if you can agree or disagree. A full cup is 8 ounces. A full cup. A full cup is 8 ounces. Okay? So this is approximately 1/8 of a full cup. Let me just give you an approximation. How is this compared to the size of an olive, ladies and gentlemen? It's certainly bigger than an olive. That's absolutely for sure. But how many olives can fit into this thing? I'll pass it around. Can you please pass it around the other one?
He's doing the experiment.
What's the experiment? What's the experiment?
Oh.
What size olive?
What kind of cup is that?
Seven. Those are seven.
One second. Doesn't say these cups are great. They don't tell how big the cups are.
That looks like a 7 ounce cup.
Oh wait, it says something here. 7N. I assume it's a 7 ounce cup. How many of those went into it? Seven approximately? About. So it's about an ounce, because about seven of them went into that 7 ounce cup. So we were right. So now it's passed around. Have you seen it? Please everyone get it. Please get it. And I'd like show and tell. Absolutely show and tell. I'd like you to Well, Archimedes' principle, that's how you measure things, with water replacement, absolutely. Archimedes was a great scientist, and he figured it out. Okay, now, the Mishnah tells us in the Masechta Kelim that the kazayas of which they spoke, the Mishnayas with the Shirim, not a large one, nor a small one, but a medium-sized one, which is what they call a gori. It's a Mishnah in Kelim. Now, there are different kinds of olives, different kinds. So many kinds of olives. So, as a matter of fact, we have olive pits, which date back to the original times of the Mishnayos. Many of them are found in Masada. That's the Bar Kokhba revolt. This is the times of the Mishnah. And the different kinds, which are described in various forms. If you want to give me some Maram Akomos, there are the gold standard that I could find in all these issues are something called Midos Vishiyurei Torah. Midos Vishiyurei Torah is written in Bnei Brak, ironically, Bnei Brak, by Rav Chaim Banish, I think I have to pronounce his name, Beis Nun Yun Shin, and he goes into all the details of how big the olives were in times of the Mishnayos, and he does a lot of the homework. Subsequent work was done in an article in Tchumin. Tchumen is a very prestigious annual publication, comes out in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a particular sefer called Hidurei Hamidos by Rav Margolin. All these three are more or less on the same page that they did the homework, and they found that they came more or less to the same conclusions. Yes, sir?
Did they say that olives in the time of Mishnah were larger than olives
today? I never said that.
No, not at all.
Now, there are olive trees in Eretz Yisrael today, which according to the dating processes are very, very old, thousands of years old, old olive trees. And, you know, the same size olives then as now. How big are these olives? The largest olives take up less than half of that cup that you saw, the largest ones. The smallest ones are much, much, much smaller than that. You could fit, who knows, 25 of them or maybe even more. The average ones are somewhere between, this is what Rabbi Banish writes in his Sefer, between 3 and 7.5 cc's. 3 means 10 of them would fit in that little cup, and 7.5 means 4 of them would fit in that little cup. Now, what do you think? What olives do you see?
Four.
Four, you vote for the four? Okay. Look, huh? Four, but at least four. Okay, whatever it may mean. That's the range that we're talking about. Okay? It seems to be a double poshut. Should be obvious to all of us. We need a kazayis. Now, when do we need a kazayis? Don't wait till Pesach for a kazayis. Did you eat Malav HaMalka? You will eat Malav HaMalka? So you have to wash, you have to bench, you have to know how much bread you have to eat in order to bench. So we paskin the halacha, you need a kazayis. How big is a kazayis? How big is it? So you have to know. So at first glance, if you estimate the size of an olive, that's how much bread you have to eat, and done. That's what would be at first glance. There is an issue which we're not going to go into in detail now, which is extraordinarily relevant, which is, okay, that takes care of bread, because bread is simply flour and water, more or less. What happens if you have cookies or cake? Now you have many things mixed in with the flour, such as sugar, maybe you have chocolate mixed in, who knows what you have mixed into the dough that goes in to make the cookies or the cake. What counts towards the shir kazayis? Do we count only the flour? Flour and water. The water generally gets baked out. Okay. Or do we count the sugar as well? So a purist would maintain, what kind of question is that? Of course you require a kazayis of flour. What is sugar? Sugar is nothing. If you make, you don't bench on sugar. You don't make alamichi on sugar. What is this? Notwithstanding that simple opinion, which I think is probably correct, there are many, many gedolim who disagree and say that no, the sugar does count. The sugar somehow is subsumed and incorporated into the full dough, and it also counts towards the shear of kazayis. This is a major dispute. The Mishnah Berurah speaks about it. I have to tell you that there was a book came out in Lakewood, which gave you a picture book about the shear kazayis, how much you have to have of this, and how much you have of this, and this, and this, and this. So I called up to speak to the author. I said, I don't understand. I want to speak to the rabbi. Rabbi Bodner wrote it. I don't understand what you're writing over here. This makes sense if you're measuring matzah, you're measuring challah. I understand. Once you're measuring cookies and cake, so you have to know the recipe. If you know the recipe, so what do you put the picture does nothing. So I got Mrs. Bodner on the phone. She runs the kitchen, obviously. She said, my husband's book only works for matzah and for challah. That's it. Shalom. Now, all the pictures of the cookies and the cakes, obviously, she agreed with me. Doesn't work. It depends upon. Unless you assume, of course, that the sugar counts, which is an opinion. I'm not an argument that opinion of that exists. But generally speaking, it's the more purest opinion that it does not count. So the book is a nice picture book, but can't really rely upon it in that kind of a case. Fine. So therefore, it seems to be, I think, very simple. Those who want to look up the article in Tchumen, it's in Tchumen, volume 10. He has 10 pages about it. The author is a man named Mordechai Kislev. How appropriate, tonight's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. My name is Mordechai, so it's a perfect author that we can quote tonight. Okay, I do not know who he is, but he wrote a very beautiful article going back in Tchumen, which is quite a number. I think Tchumen's up to 30, something like that. So it's 20 years ago already that this came out. Fine. So that's simple. That's simple. So generally speaking, we assume that the olives today are the same as the olives of yesteryear. There's no reason empirically to assume anything different. Now, let's say, for argument's sake, there was a change in the size of the olive. It got bigger, it got smaller, whatever happened. As they say in yeshivas, lu yutsuya. For argument's sake, what would it then be? It's a serious question. Should we follow the olive that we have from Har Sinai? We have to do an archaeological dig. At Har Sinai itself, someone with olives there. We find an olive from Har Sinai, perfectly the right size. Do we follow that olive? Or will we follow the olive that we see today? It's a good question. Again, it's probably a theoretical question. But now, the Gaonim said that the reason why the Torah gave measurements in terms of eggs and olives, why? Because they're found in every place. Hashem knew that Yisrael would be scattered all over the place, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these measurements. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, because they're not going to change. That's all. And they said it depends upon the egg and depends upon the olive that you see. You have to see it. Whatever you see, fine. Now, it's very important to understand this. The impression conveyed is that if it were to be changed, we would follow today's sizes in any event. Okay, fine. Now, there's a question about this, because there is a Gemara in Yuma, which says, a person who eats chalef must record how much he ate, in case a bezin in the future will increase the measurement for which a person is chayav to bring a korban. So if a person by mistake ate a kazayis of chalev, he should write down I'm not sure what he's going to use to write it down, cc's or whatever. I wrote eight this much chalev. This is also found in the Rishalmi. Now, question is, what's the halacha? Get an impression from here that every bezin figures it out. We don't know exactly what it means. So it's unclear. It's going to change this year, not change this year. That Gemara is a little bit unclear. But in any event, it seems that factually, the olives did not change. There's no empirical evidence, again, that I know about anywhere that the size of the olive changed. Yes?
Did we say the size of eggs
have changed? We haven't gotten to eggs. We're discussing only olives. We'll see. I'll talk something about eggs. Eggs was last week.
Oh, right.
Huh?
All right, because I always thought you said that when you measured for how to make the thing, you based on eggs.
We haven't got the challah yet. We're still talking about eating bread. Challah, you're right. Challah depends upon eggs.
The reason I'm just saying this is because we don't go on the old measurement of eggs, which was bigger. So
who said it was bigger?
No? Okay.
Okay, slowly. Go slow, slow, slow. We're going slowly. We're going slowly. Now, the we do know from the Rambam that a kazayis is a kazayis. Right? It doesn't tell you how big it is. There's no need to tell you how big it is because kazayis is a kazayis. No problem. No problem. One thing we do know. Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos and of Tzadi Aleph that a kazayis is less than the size of a grogeris, which is a dried fig. That we do know. Fine. The Rambam says that a dried fig is less than the size of, is the size of one third of an egg. So the eggs are getting in over here. But it's only an upper bound. We know according to the Rambam that a kazayis is less than one third of an egg. Okay. How big is an egg?
A, double A.
You're correct. You can find small. You can't find a small egg. You can't buy. They don't sell you. Medium. This is marketing.
They're very small.
The smallest ones are called medium. This is America, Madison Avenue. The smallest ones are medium. Then you have large. You have extra large. You have jumbo. Am I correct? Those are okay. So I guess we should really probably pick large. Large is really medium. It's a little discounting.
Yeah, except aren't the large ones genetically engineered?
I don't think so. So how big is an egg? That should be easy to find. Just take an egg and put it in water. Measure the displaced water. That should be very easy. Yeah.
But the wild ancestor of modern domestic chickens still exist, and their eggs are smaller than domestic chickens.
Okay, it's very possible that the eggs were smaller than they are now, but this little, according to the Rav Banish and Midas and Shiurei Torah, there's little evidence to that conclusion. He's assuming that they're more or less the same size.
And they were
There were always chickens since Gan Eden, and chickens always had eggs since Gan Eden. Although, yes, there are different kinds of chickens and different kinds of eggs. It's not exactly clear, but again, they did some archaeological research done by both Rabbi Banish and others, and they found that the eggs are more or less the same now as they were then. Again, if it changed, it goes back to the old theoretical question. Do we follow the eggs of then or the eggs of now? Let's discuss the eggs of now. How big is an egg? An average egg, how big is it? So I have to explain to you one thing. We talk about eggs. We have to do two different measurements. There's an egg with the shell and an egg without the shell. Two different measurements. That's clear to anybody. Of course, there's a big argument as to what is the ratio of the egg without the shell as a percentage of the egg with the shell. Shouldn't be an argument, just measure it. What's so hard to measure? But there is an argument anyway. The various rabbonim weigh in differently on this issue. Rabbi Banish is very, very emphatic after many, many measurements, and others apparently have confirmed his measurements, that a egg without a shell is approximately 90% of an egg with a shell. So So you lose about 10% when you measure the egg without the shell. That's what he says, and I have no reason to assume it anything different based upon the measurements of the Gedolim that we have in our generation, who did a good job when it comes to these things. Now, of course, where does eggs come in? As Chaim said, in challah. Eggs are 43.2 eggs. That's the shear of challah. It's very important to understand how much is 43.2 eggs. What is it? How do you measure it? So, there were Gedolim in Poland who measured it, and they gave different Polish measurements. You'll recognize, I'm gonna give you the word as it's found in the Shach lived in Poland in the 17th century. He said that the shear, listen carefully please, the shear is 3 Kuf, Vav, Vav, Aleph, Resh, Tes. What's that?
Quart.
Can't tell what the Polish quart was. We know what a quart is today, right? A quart of milk. A little less than 3 quart. Okay? They did a cheshbon. They knew how much the Polish measurements were. According to the Midos v'Shiurei Torah, the Shach's Beta was approximately 46 cc's. 46 cc's, that's one of those shot glasses, and a half, right? That's 30, 46, right? One and a half of those things is the size of an egg. Where's that cup? Is it around somewhere here? Let's pass it around and see if the people agree that that's the size of an egg.
Larger
than how much? 48 cc's, okay. So we're talking about the similar range. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Fine. And he did a job, and he translated that into weight. Because you see, when people make who makes challah here? You measure cups or do you measure weight?
I do it
by weight. By pounds, right. So most people do it by pounds. In Israel, they don't use pounds, they use kilograms. A kilogram, I think it's about 2.2 pounds approximately. He says, if you normal measurement of flour, he thinks it's approximately, according to the Shach, kilogram vareva. Right? Which is a little more than a half of a 5-pound bag of flour that we have. So if you're using a little bit more than a half of your 5-pound...
Then you can take challah from it?
You must take challah from it.
No, but you can make with the bracha.
According to this, you can make with the bracha too. Now, slowly. According to the Rambam, the shear of a kebetza, this is found in his Perush Mishnayos, again based on Midas Shira Torah, is 50 cc's. And both Rabbi Banish and his Rabbi Margolin measured and they found 50 cc's. 50 cc's. Chazanish came along, this is what we referred to last week, that's what you're referring to, and doubled it. He got 100 cc's. Everything is double of what we have now.
Use ostrich eggs?
No. He claims that the eggs of yesteryear were bigger than the eggs of today. To my knowledge, there's absolutely no archaeological evidence whatsoever to support this conclusion. We'll see later where it comes from. But that's what he says. See the 50 cc's. It's easy for us as we like to deal in round numbers. It's good for us. 50 according to us. That's what we see with our own eyes. And the Chazanish even makes it 100, even a more round number. What, we can be more round than 100? That's what he says. Rav Noah, whose name we mentioned last week, who was a vehement opponent of this doubling of the eggs, but he had a somewhat larger egg. I guess he measured, I don't know what he got, why, he got 57.6. That's his egg. What? That's his egg? Hold on a second. That's his egg. Now hold on a minute. I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you that slowly.
So all these are internal, they're not with the shell. Only measurements now.
Or what?
Or the internal, not with the shell. Only measurements now.
Oh, no. Slowly. It's important to know. With respect to the shear of challah, you have to measure the egg with the shell. That's an easier thing to measure because you just throw it and dump it into water. Can I give you an assignment? I'm serious. The next Motzei Shabbos, you never ever walk, go home. You have a whole week. And take an egg. Everyone takes it for a while. You consider it to be an average egg. Put it in water. You know, see how much it displaces. Just put it underneath. Measure it in your and let me know. I want to know what you find. I want to find out from the oilum. You know, what is an egg? Okay, you let me know. I'm guessing it's going to be around 50. Again, depends what kind of eggs you use. If you use what they call a large, which is probably really a medium, should be around 50. Approximately. That's what I'm told. Now, fine. This is relevant, as we mentioned already last week a little bit, with respect to another constant. Many of us don't make challah. So we don't make challah. So that's not relevant to us, the size of an egg. So it's never really, if you're not making challah, the size of an egg is fundamentally irrelevant all year long. I'm trying to, do I have to measure an egg? I can go a whole year, I don't have to measure an egg. Never. Except one thing.
I want to be machmir on Birkas Hamazon.
Slowly. I have to measure an egg. I want to make Kiddush or Abdullah. I mentioned to you already last week. Why so? Because a revius, which is the shear of the cup for Kiddush and Abdullah. And the truth is, before you get the Kiddush and Abdullah, it's a big dispute how much you have to drink in order to make a Baruch Nefashis or an Alei Gefen. Also, we paskin, you have to have a revius. So it's relevant to me every single day. I want to make a Baruch Nefashis on a cup of water or any other drink. I have to have a revius. What's a revius? A kebetza and a half. That's a fact, based on the different measurements. Asklav gudu, the kebetza and a half. So it's extraordinarily relevant to know how big a kebetza is, to know how big a revius is. It's just simply add 50%. So therefore, if the revius is, excuse me, if the kebetza is 50, it's a simple arithmetic, then the revius is 75 cc's. Okay? So what does that mean? What does that mean in ounces? Approximately 2.5 ounces. I'm using nothing is precise. About 2.5 ounces. That's it. If you double it, so by definition, it's what? It's 5 ounces. But the Chazon Ish and his Cheshbonos had even more than 5 ounces. I'm not going into the particular details where he got that from. He had an even a larger shear. We mentioned that a little bit last week. So that's 5, he requires a bit more. If you follow Avraham Chaim Noah, so you end up with we'll do a little arithmetic, 57.6, add half of that, which is 28.8, I believe, and it takes you to 86, because I know from the Gematria, Kos. Somebody said last week, Kos is Gematria 86, it's obvious, it's a befurish, that it has to be 86 cc's. To which the stipler responded, what do you mean? You want a proper kos, a kos hogun. That's for gematria 150. So, you know, gematria is like you can do anything you want with gematria. So 150, of course, would be the 100, you know, plus the 50. That's 150. So that's the various opinions as far as how many cc's should be in a revius. Please don't put much faith in gematria. I'm just telling you this is going on and part of the polemic that was going back and forth. Fine. This is very nice. Okay. However, there is also a shear of a kazayas without of a kebetza without its shell. A kebetza without its shell. Now, the only ratio that we're able to determine so far, according to the Rambam, is that it's only a maximum ratio. That the kazayis is actually even less than a third of the size of an egg. That we know, because the grogris is one third of an egg, and the kazayis is less than that. Could be much less than that. We have no idea how much less. Less! Okay. Here's where the problems come up. The problem comes up as follows. How much does your base habliya, which is your... I would once translate that the part of the throat that you can swallow in one gulp or one shot. How much is the base of the? How much does it contain? There are two statements in the Talmud about it. Two separate statements. The Gemara says in Masech the Yuma Daf Pei, Ein Beis Abliya Machzik Yosef Mikabetza. That it cannot hold more than the size of an egg. In Croesus, it says, that it cannot hold more than the size of two olives. Here's where things get complicated. On this basis, Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Pesach, which is the most relevant, says, Yesh Omrim, some say, that in order to discharge your obligation of eating a Kazayas Matzah, you should eat the size of a half an egg. Half an egg? Based on this Gemara, right? Because if the same X, whatever X is, doesn't matter, X is a base of Bleel. If X is a Beitzah, and X is two olives, a little math, that means that a Zayas could be as large as half an egg. That's the source, as it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tov Pei Vov. Okay? Yesh Omrim. So Yesh Omrim. Some say that it's that large. Of course, the question becomes, this is a pretty large olive. We have no olives that go in and come even close to that. So what are you talking about? What, the text! What are you going to do with the two texts? So it has to be. Just has to be. What are you going to do with it? I'll ask you a question. Well, the Rambam doing it. The Rambam, we know, holds that a kazayis is less than a third of the size of an egg. And yet over here we have, it says it doesn't hold more than a kebetz. It doesn't hold more than two zaysim. So the Magen Avraham says, well, it doesn't mean it can't hold three. It can't hold three. It can only hold two and a half or something like that. That's plausible. But it won't help according to the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, the kazayis is less than the size of a third of an egg. So it should say three, not two. This is the question. To get out of this question, he says, well, the Gemara, one of the Gemaras that's quoted in Masechta Shabbos, talks about that the grogris is bigger than an olive, is talking about a small olive, not a average olive. If it's talking about a small olive, then the Gemara is completely irrelevant to us, because we know that the shear based on the Mishnah Kelim was only an average olive, so then the whole thing becomes irrelevant. Comes a Vilna Gaon, right there, this is in Simen Tov Pei Vov, with his answer. He says, a grogris, this is a beautiful answer on paper, a grogris is one third of an egg, the Gemara says of the Farish, with its shell. And the Gemara that says the base of Leah holds a kebetzer, of course, I hope you wouldn't put an egg with its shell into your throat, is of course talking about without the shell. Without the shell, no problem. The Gaon seems to be assuming that the ratio is 2 to 3. But we said the ratio, in fact, is 9 to 10. Now, it's true, the Magen Avraham says that it's a ratio of 3 to 4, according to the Maharil, but it still won't help for the Gaon's Cheshbon. Rabbi Chaim Noah held that the difference between with and without shell is 1/15 or 1/20, which is even smaller distinction. I'm going with my man, 1/10. And therefore, it seems to me that the proper answer, again on paper, to this conundrum would be as follows. We know for a fact that a kazayis has to be more than a third, again, on paper, more than a third of an egg without its shell, as the Magen Avraham says. But it could still be less than one third of an egg with its shell. Because it just sneaks in there. How so? The Rambam says that the grogris is one third of an egg with its shell. Kazayis is less. Okay? So what does that mean? Let's give numbers. Let's just real numbers. The Rambam says a kazayis with its shell is 50 cc's. Therefore, how much is the shear of a kazayis if a kebetza is 50? The Vilna Gaon says less than a third of that. How he gives a precise measure? 3/10. There's a famous piece of the Vilna Gaon. I once said it at a drusha here in Pashas Noso at a bar mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon explains the Gemara in Brachas, Hey machmir mat kazayis vat kebeta. What does that mean? That means that they didn't have enough to eat and not have a whole suda, which they would normally have. They either divided it into 3 or divided it into 10. And if they divided it into 10, they had each one had a kazayis. If they divided it into 3, each one had a kebeta. They took the shear of a suda's three kebetzim, and they divided either 3 ways or 10 ways in order to be able to make a mezuman of 3 or 10. That's the Vilna Gaon in Mishle. That's what he has to say. Vilna Gaon in Mishle. Those who want to look it up, it's in Mishle, Perek Chav Beis Posuk Tes. That's the Vilna Gaon says. So it comes out, that according to the Vilna Gaon, 15 cc's is a kezias, and you just can't get it in because the tad more, the base of Bliya holds a kebeta without its shell, which is 45 cc's, and you can't quite fit in the 315, it just won't get in there into the 45. That's how the Vilna Gaon would come out. Fine! So we could all work it out on paper. It works out very, very, very nicely. Very nice on paper. Of course, the question becomes, it still has nothing to do with the reality. This is what says in Shulchan Aruch. Oh. So once again, Midos v'shiurei Torah measure the olives. The biggest olive that we can talk about as being somewhat average is 7.5 cc's, much less than all of these shiurim. Much less than all of these shiurim. And as a matter of fact, the Hidurei Hamidos, a beautiful sefer, quotes from the stipler of all people. The stipler is the one who was in the Chazon Ish's camp 1,000% with all the polemic we spoke about last week. But it's very important to note, that's with respect to the shear of the linear measurements of the Amma. Is it 19 inches or is it 20, close to 24 inches? And that's with respect to the egg. Because those two had that problem we spoke about last week that the Noda Yehuda came up with in measuring the thumbs and the fists and the arms in one hand and measuring the eggs in the other hand. It was off by 2 to 1. So he came to an unusual conclusion that not the people got bigger, but rather the eggs got smaller. Okay? So there was Stipler was a big proponent, as we saw, of that shiur. The eggs got smaller. Everything is huge, 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 huge. But that's only for the shiur which depend upon the linear or depend upon the size of an egg. But, he said, we can assume that the shiur of a kezias is a kezias, which is much less than a half of an egg. Much less even than a third of an egg. Much, much smaller. Much, much smaller. And therefore he says, even the stipler, don't, you know, get carried away with the chazanish, oh, big shirim. No. If you eat a tiny little bit and say, oh, I don't have to make a brocha chron, I don't have to bench, because it's just a small shear. Wrong. If you eat this amount of bread, size of today's olive, you're already at least in a suffix of birchas hamazon. So don't do it. So writes this stipler. And so it seems to me it should be relevant for an individual who doesn't feel so well, stomach bothers him, and he wants to eat kezias matzah, and the shiurim they give out now with those huge charts, and get him sick. It seems to me that if he's not well, he should rely on the smaller shiur. Of course, the question you do, what do you do with those two gemaras? Increases, it says, it doesn't hold more than 2 olives. And Yuma, it says, it doesn't fit more than a kebetza. According to what we're saying now, there are at the very least, 6 olives in an egg. The least. Could be even more than that. So what do you do with this Gemara? A tremendous question. Tremendous question. So the number of answers. The Pri Chodesh says, well look, the Gemara in Croesus that says it doesn't hold more than two olives is not so accurate. Not so accurate. It says it's supposed to be because it's talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has a koseves, which has 3 kezesim. So it means more than that. Whatever it may mean, it'll help a little bit. It'll help a little bit. Won't help all the way. I think the best answer is probably in the Tchumen. What the Tchumen says, he thinks that the average egg, average olive is only 3 cc's, which is, you know, again, I said between 3 and 7.5. Three. Now, how much is 3 cc's? It's only 1/15th of a pesa without its shell. 1/15th. Okay. So how's that nice stuck? I think the best answer he gives himself in the article in Truman. Look, let's assume for a moment that area of the, I'm not sure what the precise scientific name, although I did get a picture of it, I think Dr. Leibowitz provided with the picture we spoke about it once before of the that area of the throat. Let's assume you can squeeze in 45 cc of a raw egg. The chazon of raw eggs, right? The chazonim. Or maybe a soft-boiled egg, which is more or less the same thing. You can squeeze it in because it's malleable. It's malleable. So, you know, so it's a total of 45 cc, but it's not a shape. It's not a factory. Your throat's not a factory. So it's 45, it'll squeeze in, and then because it'll adapt to the shape of your body, so 45 cc's can squeeze in. But an olive or a hard food, it's a whole different story. It won't fit anything. You can only fit in two olives, which is, we said before, 6 cc's. No contradiction. Because olives, you go put two olives. Olives don't move, don't bend, nothing. They're hard. So three won't fit? You say, how can it be? 3 olives is a total of 9 cc's. That can't fit. But 45 cc's can fit? Yes! Yes! Because one is soft and malleable, will just adjust to the... And one is hard and one is not. That's what he answers. That's the simplest answer. That's how he explains the words of Rabbeinu Tam and the opinion of the Mordechai, which is about crushing up food on Pesach. You take the matzah and you crush it up and you put it in. I'm not going into all the details right now, but that's how he understands in an article in Tchumen. When you crush it, you can get at least 3 kazesim in your Beis Abliya, Pesach, Matzah, Morah. And as the Chassam Sofer says, and therefore, we go back to the beginning. A kazayis is a kazayis, a kaveitza, a kaveitza, and never the twain shall meet. Notwithstanding the Gemara that makes a ratio, because the Gemara's ratio, you can't build on it, because the Gemara wasn't talking about olive equivalents. We're talking about olives, which are hard and they're in a particular shape, and they don't bend inside. You can't fit 3 of them. I think that's the best answer of all, which solves all the world's problems. Fine, it's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, on Pesach night, you should try to have a half an egg. According to this, what kind of half an egg? Much less than that. Okay. How much less? So now, I want to explain, although there are these two Talmudic texts which indicate a ratio between the olive and the egg, and that's what the Gedolim wrestle with. But it's important to understand that there's a reason why they had discussion of this. This is found, Rabosai, in the Sefer Midas V'Shiurei Torah, quoting from the Rav Yo. Again, talks about the shear of a half, a shear of 3/10, a shear of a third. Where did they get all this from? So the answer is, and this is what the Rav Yo says, they simply did not have olives. Simple as all that. Olives did not grow in Germany. They can't grow. They grow in the Mediterranean basin. It's too cold. Too cold. But the Rav Yo in Brochus, wherever a kazayis is required, you should put in a lot. We're not familiar with the measurement of an olive, so you should make a brachah levatala. The Rav Yo, they did not have olives. Simple. Simple. That's all. They did have imports of olive oil once in a while. But they didn't have olives. Didn't grow there. Today, everything is transported here, there. It wasn't that way in those days. They didn't have olives. Simple as all that. Because they didn't have olives, they were required to figure out an olive based upon the comparisons which we find in the Gemara to eggs. And then he quotes an individual. Again, how do you put kazayas of matzah, moror, charoses? How do you do all this? He says, it's one from the Piskei, Rabbi Hoseinu Sheba Ashkenaz, no problem. I saw olives in Eretz Yisrael with Shalayim. Even 6 were not as large as an egg. Is that what we said? We know that. We know it to be true. Right? 6, the biggest olive, 7.5, 6 will fit into the size of an egg. It's even smaller than that. Adka. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, it seems that the Shulchan Aruch, as I mentioned to you before, had a very interesting formulation. In Simatov Pevov, Yesh Omrin, that a kazayis is around a half an egg. Yeah, around, fine. course, the question becomes, that's Yeshom. Whenever there's a Yeshom in Shulchan Aruch, that means, that's only one view. But there's another view. What is the other view? Silence. What is the other view? So the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, the other view is a Rambam. And it's a third of an egg. And the Mishnah Berurah said, if you're sick, you can rely on the Rambam, that's only a third of an egg. However, it seems that may be true, but isn't there another possibility? That the mainstream view is an olive, is an olive, is an olive. There's no need to say, don't measure it in terms of eggs. Just look and see what the olive is, and that's all. Shalom. Why must we worry about it in terms of eggs? Just an olive is an olive is an olive. Maybe that's the simple interpretation, the mainstream view, off which the Rabbi Yosef Karo says is a yesh omer. That seems to be the simplest shot. Now, of course, all this is aside from the discussion we had a little bit last week about the idea of the eggs being smaller now than they were then. Now, again, we mentioned already last week, it seems from studying buildings in this country wasn't really inhabited by our people anyway for more than a couple hundred years. If you go into these Revolutionary War period reconstructions, or even after the original buildings, I can't fit in. I have to bend my head to get in. I'm not that tall. Less than 6 feet. The doors are less than 6 feet. How can that be? The answer is people were shorter. I mean, I think there are other proofs to that. People were somewhat shorter. So they were shorter, presumably their arms were shorter, and their fists were smaller, and their thumbs were a little bit smaller. So that's what's happened now, we'll call it 250 years, whatever it may be. So why can't we assume, instead of saying the eggs got smaller, that people got a little bit bigger? And remember, you only have to get a little bit bigger, because everything's being cubed when you're talking about volumes. Just a tiny bit bigger. It just gets cubed, so it makes such a big difference. It seems to me that would be, if you want to reconcile it, this would be an easier way to do so. Okay. So now, of course, the Mishnah Berurah, as we mentioned, said that you should, l'chatchila, follow the Shulchan Aruch, who says a kazayis is half of an egg, and l'chatchila, you should double the eggs too, because there's no to be Yehuda, especially when it comes to a mitzvah mid-da'oraisa. Mitzvah mid-da'oraisa. Okay? Now, again, Reb Chaim Noah had his shiurim, right, which came to a certain amount. Okay? This would make a kazayas, would be, according to him, half a kabetas, is 57. So it leads you to 28, 29. That's what people say. You have that shot glass that we spoke about before, which is 30 cc's. Oh, you've had a kazayas, which is very, very nice. However, you could also accept a somewhat smaller view, even assuming you have to have a half a kabetza, but a kabetza, we said before, the Rambam seems to be more close to the truth. So it's not 57, it's really 50. So it's not 28.8, it's really just simply 25. I'm not that much of a difference, but then you have the idea of one-third of an egg, which was the Rambam on that Nakuda. So according to the Rambam himself, 17 cc will do the trick for you, right? It's one-third of 50 by higher mathematics. Oh. So now, we have to understand that all this is volume shiurim. But it's very hard to measure displacement when it comes to a matzah. Because it's filled up with water, and you can't do it. You can't do it. It absorbs. It's impossible.
Especially if you look at the
rocks. You hope to measure before Pesach. Okay. So the question becomes, so how do you do it? So how do you do it? What do you do? So, I'd like to refer you, because I'm almost running out of time, and I really want to get to some kind of bottom line, something which I wrote just this past year, in something called Pesach to Go, came out of Nisan 5771, and it's entitled, the letters are very big, How Much Matzah Do You Need to Eat? That's a pretty practical question. In this fairly brief piece, It's really a few pages. It's 3.5 pages, the whole thing. Nothing, you can read it. I can lend it to you if you want. All right. So let's assume for the moment we should try to eat an egg. Again, Shulchan Aruch said so. If the person is healthy, he's trying to eat a half an egg. I'm fine with that. So how much is a half an egg? So the question becomes, on a practical level. So we assume that based on Chazon Ish, half an egg without its shell. So if a liquid raw egg is 45 cc's, you have to eat 22.5 cc's. Let's assume with that. But granted, I want to eat 22.5 cc's. What do I do with a matzah? I can't measure that. How are you going to measure it? It's impossible. It's simply impossible to do it. How do you do it? What do you do? Oh. So now, fascinating. Rabbi Banish notes, quotes in his Sefer Midos V'Shiurei Torah, that's Saturday over here. The Chazon Ish relied, believe it or not, on the 50 cc shear, even though he holds it's 100. Why? Number one, the Mishnah Berurah in his Chumrah has three Chumras. It's a half an egg with its shell, which Chazon Ish can't understand, and doubling it. And Chazon Ish said the more correct view is that Kazayis is 1/3 of an egg without the shell and without doubling it. Because doubling only applies to eggs and its strict derivations. Revius. Does not apply to Kazayis, to answer your question. Again, fundamentally, there's no need to double the Kazayis, even though those who go with the egg ratio would do it, but fundamentally it's really not necessary. So therefore, we have to try to figure it out. There's only one way to figure it out, though. Grinding it up is what the Chazon Ish did.
Why can't you do that flour? Right?
Slow. By grinding up, he ground up the matzah. That's exactly what he did. Chazon Ish ground up the matzah. It's recorded in Sefer Midos V'Shiurei Torah. And you figure by grinding it up, this makes the most biggest chumrah, right? Because after it's ground up, point out is not true. Not true. Why? Because this method can include more airspace between the crumbs and produce, paradoxically, a more lenient result. People didn't realize that. Rabbi Banish realized it. So the only way to do it is to really measure it. See, that requires a lot of hard work, and he did it, and others confirmed his measurements. They did it simply in terms of volume. Okay. But that, for us, since we can't measure it now, we have now laboratories, we have to convert it into weight. He tells you how to do it. 22 cc's, okay? How much does it weigh? In water, 22 grams, because that's exactly what the metric system's the beauty of it. But, what's the relative weight of water and matzah? It's 2 to 1. So therefore, the volume of 22 cc's of matzah weighs 11.25 grams. That's the secret. So all you have to have in weight is 11.25 grams. What is that? If you're using a machine shmura, it's easy to measure. It's less than 2/5 of a machine-made matzah. If you're using a hand matzah, it's less than 1/5 of a hand shmura matzah.
That's the Eretz Yisrael matzah.
I have a chart. I printed an actual chart based upon matzahs per pound, because that's what people have. They're different, the thicker and the thinner ones. I prefer the thinner ones because they're much more easy to swallow and digest. People like the thick ones, they don't break in transit. I have from 6 per pound, which is a thick one, the shots are about 6 per pound, and up down to 10 a pound. The talim are closer to 8, 9 a pound. Right, 8, 9 a pound. If it's 8 per pound, then that the shear I said before is true. A kazayis is 1/5 of a of a matzah. That's all it is. Now, my time is up. Let me tell you one final point. For those who eat more and more and more and more, we shouldn't view them as know-nothings and they're doing something which is ridiculous. No. Because my Rebbe taught us, based on the expression of the Rambam, the Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah at Seder night. U'misha'ochal kazayis yotza. When you eat a kazayis, you've discharged your obligation. There's a clear implication. If you eat more, it's a greater mitzvah. So for those who have the stomach for it, literally, and want to eat more than that, fine. Now remember, there are two reasons to eat more than that. There are two reasons to even to double it. One, because the Chazon Ish doubled everything. Two, forgetting about that. Shulchan Aruch writes in Pesach night, you should have two kazayis. So if you have two-fifths of a hand matzah, if you can handle that, you have had fulfilled the Chazon Ish's doubling. Alternatively, if you also fulfilled the shear of two kazayis, you don't have to double the two, as the Rabbanim, you don't have to double that. And assuming they're both incorrect, you still have a greater, more mitzvah points, because you ate more, which was what the Rambam implies. However, someone who is not well, someone who doesn't feel well, should have the smaller amount. Okay? So, what is the smaller amount? What's a smaller amount? Maybe one-third of an egg, right? Or which is 17 cc's, or today's eggs, which is 7.5 cc's, which is the bigger end. That is only one-third of what I told you. So therefore, if you're having a hand matzah, instead of having, what do we say, one-fifth, try one-fifteenth. If that's too much for you, because even that hurts your stomach, what about the 3cc shear? The 3cc shear, I think it's 1/37th of a matzah. That's a pretty small amount. This is a limud zchus for those who have very small shear of matzah and small shear of challah. This is what to justify. Our time is up. We spoke a little bit about the evolution of the size of an olive and the psak halacha lemaisa. Shavua tov and chodesh tov. Thank you.
Three quarters?
How many columns?
Three quarters.